Hello, welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. If you are like most, you are here because you want to gain insights on how to best scale a business. To achieve optimum scaling, many metrics are important. Sales, leads, cost of customer acquisition, gross revenues. However, as you know, no statistic is as important as profits, both net and gross. For over a decade, your host, Richard Doherty, has helped his clients increase their profits, often turning them into profit-rich winners. To help listeners like you achieve stellar profits in business, Richard has written an ebook entitled Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It includes profit-making advice from Richard, as well as some of the top guests he's had on the podcast. Just for listening, it is yours free. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. Now, over to the show with Richard Doherty, founder and host.
Hey, what's up, everyone? And welcome back to another episode of the FinTech Scaling Show, where we talk to founders and executives and we get their insights as what it takes to scale up their business and also themselves and along the way unlock the hidden profit zones to take them to the next level. And super excited to have John on the show today. John is the founder of Mind and Body Mentor. Prior to that, John was working in financial services, but he left to set up this new venture. He worked as an equity analyst at a few places, one including the London Stock Exchange. So, you know, mate, really awesome to have you on the show today. Actually, really excited about the show today because it's a slightly different topic. So, yeah, welcome.
Hey, really good to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Cool. And just a pretext, everyone out there, a pretext to what we're going to be chatting about today. So employee health and nutrition, the bottom line is this affects your bottom line, right? So doing a bit of research before the show, I went onto YouTube and I went into Google and I typed in words like diet, best diet, etc. And I think something like 3.5 million results came up on YouTube and something like 500 or 600,000 results came up on Google. And I was like, okay, well, that's not going to help me. Well, you know, what else can I do? Where else can I go? But here's the thing, right? So when it comes to diet, it's defined as the kinds of food a person habitually eats, right? Then ultimately, there's no one size fits all. All approaches that can support each individual's lifestyle goals are going to be different. And looking around and checking out and doing a bit of digging, I found a couple of studies that go into a bit of detail around on the subject. And a recent study took 1,000-odd people into a group and into a forum and asked them a question. The question was, what do you find harder? Do you find eating healthier or finding the right diet difficult? Or do you find that it's more difficult to submit your own taxes? And you most probably know the answer to that, which I was a bit astounded, if honest with you. But 52% said that figuring out what to eat and how to become healthy was harder than doing their taxes. And 48% obviously said the taxes. So in my head, I was thinking, surely it doesn't need to be this hard. Surely it doesn't really need to be this hard. Because once you're healthy and once you're feeling good about yourself, the rewards are plentiful. And so this is why I wanted to have a chat with John today and really get into the detail as to what this looks like. And maybe we can start right at the top, right? And let's think about, John, why do you believe health and well-being is something that should always be a core part of a company's culture, but also going into the individual or core part of an individual's sort of life goals?
I mean, I think from an individual perspective and from a corporate perspective, given that the individuals are working in the corporate, we know this anecdotally from our own experiences, we're not at our best, we don't perform at our best unless we take care of our biology primarily, right? And I speak to a lot of people who talk about, they get these bursts of energy throughout the day, a lot of emotional energy when they're on a great call with people or they're working on a great project. But they might get these dips of energy where they're just not able to sustain like a decent level of focus throughout the day because their biology is not taken care of. Mm-hmm. So it's all very well being able to actually have a really engaging job something that you enjoy, that can kind of feed you energy, right? There's that one side. But also on the flip side, if we don't look after our biology, we just can't perform at our best and have this kind of sustained energy focus. It drives our confidence as well, right? And whatever people say, as they get in better shape, their confidence tends to improve because of the way that they perceive themselves. And that's the way that they show up in the world. So for themselves, they start to feel better in themselves. And it means that their output improves for the company or for their own business, if that's what they're doing.
No, I like that. And I mean, we chatted before the show, right? And as we were prepping for the show, and I gave you the example of myself, right? I mean, I think it was, you know, maybe 8 or 10 years ago, I knew these energy bursts that you mentioned, this confidence that you mentioned. I was in a state where I was burning the light at both ends, right? And personally, I realized that I did not have any energy. I sort of was tired at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, which for like in my mid-30s, it was a bit scary. And I took the pill and I said, this is not right. It can't be right. And took a bit of a hardcore view at it. And I said, this needs to change. And personally, what I did was I looked at it and I said, okay, let's jump on a bike. Let's start cycling more. And then I also realized that cycling wasn't enough. The eating side of things needed to change as well. And over the course of 10 years, and this wasn't a sort of an overnight phenomenon, if you want, but over the course of 10 years, slowly but surely, I got into shape. And I think today, when you mentioned energy, it made me realize, yeah, I can work for much longer periods because I've sort of sorted my biology out, my mechanics out, and I'm able to sustain that energy even though I'm older, right? So I totally hear what you're saying. And it will be interesting to find out a bit more as to how you go about, I'm giving you my case, but how you go about, how others will go about sorting out that biology as all their mechanics as they try to eat healthier, get fitter, get more confidence, increase their energy levels.
So I guess the first step is seeking clarity on exactly what you're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
And then secondary to that is, why are you trying to achieve it? We can use a simple example of, let's say someone's 20 pounds overweight and they're low on energy. They get out of bed every morning, they're sort of dragging themselves out of bed. They don't really feel very vitalized. So the goal might be lose 20 pounds and increase their energy. Okay, so we know what they're trying to do, but then why are they actually trying to do that? Why is that important? Because losing 20 pounds and increasing energy, we're not actually linked to anything else. It doesn't mean a great deal to someone. So we need to make it mean something. It needs to be important to them. And I get people to look at this and make it very visceral, right? Make it really feel something, to feel what it would be like to be 20 pounds down, to look at yourself in the mirror and actually see exactly what you want to see staring back, to have more energy, to be able to sustain and maintain that energy throughout the day. So first of all, seek clarity. Where are we actually going? Then we can work back from there. Okay, so let's start with the end in mind. What do we actually need to apply now to do that? Because if someone's looking to lose weight, which is the vast majority of my clients, they're going to be looking at a very different diet to someone who's looking to compete in triathlons or someone who's looking to gain weight. So we need to understand, first of all, what it is we're trying to achieve. Secondly, we need to focus more than anything on behavior change. So we need to look at implementing small changes into their lives, not huge overhauls, not grab this diet off the shelf and let's just apply it with enough force and hope it sticks. It's more like, okay, what are you eating like this week? What could we do to change that? So slightly different and improve the following week so we can move towards your goal. We make one change. Maybe we make two changes. Yeah. That's it. Like, is that it? Is that all I have to do? And it's like, yes, that's all you have to do.
But it's habits, right? So, you know, I like it because...
Just do it.
Yeah.
Get that feedback.
Yeah, it's habits, right? So week on week, or even month on month, and year on year, you changing things up. I'm going to give me as an example again. I used to drink beer, maybe 4 or 5 beers, or pints of beer a week. And now, 10 years later, I drink maybe 1 or 2 a year. I'm not saying that alcohol for everyone is... You know, I'm not saying that's a one-size-fits-all. But for me, I found that weaning myself of that type of source, I'll call it that, has actually helped increase my energy levels. But I wasn't able to do it straight off the bat. I did it gradually over a number of months and a number of years. And I think if I did it straight off the bat, it wouldn't have worked, right? I would have just gone back to my old ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what people tend to see when they follow prescriptive diets like keto, paleo, Cambridge, any named diet that's popular. People tend to apply it with enough force for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, if they're lucky, maybe longer. They lose quite a lot of weight and they're like, oh, keto really worked for me. And then they put on 30 pounds. because they didn't actually change any of the behaviors. They just applied enough force for a period. It just doesn't work over the long term.
So how do we change behaviors? I mean, this is this, right? So, you know, we want to become high performance individuals. We are high performing individuals. We are busy. You know, there's a lot of meetings. There's pressure from family. There's a lot of things going on, right, in our lives. So, you know, what do you do with your clients to change their behaviors, even if it is that 1% or that one thing a week? But it's continuous. It's continuous change. And then that lives with them as a habit or a ritual for the entirety.
So I think the first thing is to actually get them to commit and take ownership.
Yeah.
So taking responsibility is huge, because you alluded to a few things there that people use as excuses.
Yeah.
Family, having the time, business.
Yeah.
Cool. But don't moan about your health then.
Yeah.
Continue as you are, right? Or take responsibility and say, it's not perfect, because no one's setup is.
Yeah.
Mine may be a bit more difficult than someone who doesn't have kids. Mine's probably a bit more difficult than someone just starting out in their career, because I've got more responsibilities. But this is my reality, right? So I either own it or I stop moaning about the fact that I don't have time or anything and just get on with it. The better thing to do is to own it.
Yeah.
And say, right, this is my responsibility. Okay, this is what I've got to deal with. Maybe I can't do 2-hour workouts. That's okay, because I don't need to do 2-hour workouts to get into great shape, right? Yeah. Maybe I don't have time to cook a fresh meal every night. Okay, maybe I can use some money to solve that problem, pay a meal prep company. Like, there are ways around it. As soon as you take ownership, you take the power to actually make the change. So that's the first step. Secondly, the what and the why, right? Mm. What am I actually trying to achieve? Why am I trying to achieve it? And then the smallest possible next step. What do I need to do with my diet this week in order to step towards that change I'm trying to make? This is what James Clear refers to as identity-based habits in the book Atomic Habits. So like, he's saying, if you've got this identity that you're looking to create of someone who's healthy and prioritizes their health, and you've got your current identity who doesn't, every time you take an action towards either one of those, you cast a vote for the new identity. So let's just say you get home from work and you know you should jump on the spin bike, the normal bike, go for a run, go to the gym, go for a walk, do some form of activity, and you choose not to, you've casted a vote for your current identity, that identity that doesn't prioritize their own health. Instead, if you choose to even go for 5 minutes, which is everyone can do that. If you haven't got 5 minutes, you've lost control of your life. If presidents and prime ministers of governments can find time to exercise, you know, we can all make time. So if you go for 5 minutes, you cast a vote for that new identity, right? And that's, and these votes stack up over time.
Mm.
And then we can build on the small changes, and they become big changes, and they compound over time.
I like it. And I mean, when I work with clients, I always say to them, listen, have a battle plan. Have a weekly battle plan of what you're going to do. And they go, yeah, okay, Rich, I'm going to do a weekly battle plan. They put everything there. You know, they're going up to do sales, marketing, building a product or a service or a new service. Okay, that's great. What about, to your point, what about putting in that battle plan an hour a day to exercise, whether it's walk or whether it's a cycle, whatever it is. And then actually making certain that that is in your calendar. Because what I find is if something's in someone's calendar, especially if they are business owner, executive, if it's in your calendar, nine times out of 10, you're going to actually do it. If it's not, you're going to find an excuse, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Bon. And I often say to clients, put your own health practices in your calendar before everything else.
That's it, right?
And it's blocked out and it's busy. People can't take that time. If you start saying, oh, it's okay, I'll just take this meeting when I should have been going to the gym, it's the start of the slippery slope back to where you were.
Yeah, it's coining the old identity, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's not easy to do. Like, sometimes I think people can, because I'm direct about it, I think that it's easy for people to do this. It's not. And I'm not saying you should be able to do it like next week, just completely overhaul your calendar. But you can look down 2 months' time and say, what would I want my ideal calendar to look like here? Okay, how can I work back? What one change can I make this week to move towards that calendar? And it's exactly what I do with my clients, and they do it. These are busy people. The majority of my clients are business owners, some are executives. They run big businesses. They've got as little time as anyone else, but we work to find it. Because the time thing is an excuse. Yeah, you might not have 3 hours a day to train. That's absolutely fine, right? Not many people do. But if you're telling me you don't have 25 minutes, 30 minutes to get sweaty, you know, there's a problem.
Okay. So once you start taking control, taking ownership. You start putting in an hour a day or the 30 minutes a day into your calendar, start getting out the station, let's say that. What type of transformation do you start seeing in that individual once they actually are starting to execute and implement that process and that habit?
The first thing is that they tend to feel more energized when people start, specifically talking about training.
Yeah.
People train. And that can mean anything, by the way. Like whatever training means to you, elevating your heart rate in some way, shape, or form, putting in some effort, you have to enjoy it to kind of make it sustainable. They start to see high levels of energy despite expending more energy, right? Because exercise actually ends up giving us energy. They start to feel more in control of their health. Those habits then start to compound. They start to eat better as a result of training, because training is a cornerstone habit, which means that it basically is the type of habit you can hang other habits off of. So if you train in the morning, you're far more likely to make a better decision at breakfast, far more likely. Whereas if you don't, you might just eat a donut. I mean, that'd be quite an extreme example, right? You might grab a croissant instead of like some eggs on toast. And so those are the sorts of changes that you start to see quite quickly. And then you start to see this self-belief come through later on, because actually people are setting goals and they're actually keeping the promises that they make to themselves. And this is the danger of the extreme changes. People have done this so many times that they've broken their promises to themselves so many times that it starts to damage their self-esteem and they actually start to question whether they can do it. If instead you start to piece things together, building a strong foundation and getting people to actually hit their goals week on week, then they start to get this self-belief back.
Yeah.
And that's powerful. And it starts to be applied in all other areas of their life as well.
Yeah, you mentioned applying in all other areas of their life. So let's look at that. Because you mentioned energy, we mentioned eating better, more self-belief. What happens in other areas of their life? So I feel like once you start getting control of this and maybe removing the I'm busy hat, you're able to also control maybe other parts, as you say. You're able to go to your kid's school assembly, as an example. You know, maybe an obvious example, but an example anyway. You're able to dedicate more time to your family or your wife or even your team as a whole. Be able to take in and bring this type of culture into your business if you need to take it into your business. You know, so I'm just sort of chucking some examples out there, but you know, I'd like to hear what are the other outputs and what are the other impacts of other people's parts of life.
I tend to see, I primarily work with guys.
Yeah.
And I tend to see the change doesn't just come through their health. Yes, they improve their health.
Yeah.
So they lose fat. They increase their energy. They end up getting stronger, feel more confident. Awesome. But then in their family life, they become a better father. They become a better husband. They're a better role model in that sphere. And then moving through to business, because a lot of the principles are actually very similar. Taking ownership, taking responsibility, you know, just getting things done.
Yeah.
Actually creating consistency, patience, all of these things. They start to perform better in their business, whether that's the business they run, whether it's in the business they work for. And that's why, like, this is never something that's just in its kind of in its own silo. It kind of transmits to other areas of our life, particularly business and relationships. You basically just become a much better version of yourself because you've learned to take control of the thing that really is at the heart of that, which is your own health, both physically and mentally.
That's interesting. I mean, ultimately, you're starting to perform better in life and you're starting to be a bit more happier in that journey, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's no one that I work with who would say that, oh, no, the changes were just in health. No, I didn't see any other changes. It's like they'll talk about things like being mentally sharper. Well, that's clearly going to have an effect in the business space or anything that's needing cognitive output. It's like taking responsibility, being a role model. Well, that's pretty cool in family life. Yeah, so it really does, it has a powerful effect across all areas.
So we talk about both nutrition and exercise here. If I'm starting out and I'm wanting to lose a bit of weight, I want to get my confidence up, what are the key ingredients to getting a healthier diet, maybe two or three things? And what are the key ingredients to start getting fitter, for want of a better word, you know, getting out there, maybe running or walking or even cycling? How can I get started is the question.
So in nutrition, to your example of wanting to lose weight, feel more energized, feel more confident. In terms of weight loss, there really is only one thing that's going to move the needle, and that's creating a calorie deficit.
Yeah.
People have probably heard it over and over again.
Yeah.
But there can't be an argument because it's literally, it's like saying gravity doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, that doesn't make sense. Like energy can only be transferred. So we know that if we create a calorie deficit, we expend more energy than we take in. Yeah. We're going to give up fat cells. Right now, the contention and the reason why there's a million different ways of doing this is because there are a million different ways of doing this. So every diet works, keto and all this, right? They all work by creating a calorie deficit. People don't stick to them because they're not sustainable. They're not a lifestyle. They're not built for the individual.
Yeah.
So the first thing is to focus on calories and just to make sure you're actually creating a calorie deficit. A good way of doing that is to focus on whole foods. And what I mean by that is get as close to the source as you can. The less processed, the better. Just because they tend to be much more nutrient dense, and it's harder to overeat them. It's much harder to overeat. If you fill your plate with half of your plate is three different types of vegetables, and then there's, I don't know, steak on the side, or it's some lentils if you're vegetarian, or it's some chicken, or it's some fish, you won't eat that plate and be hungry. You can't, because of how fibrous the vegetables are. So you're getting the most nutritious plate, and you can cook those in a million different ways. Right? So it doesn't have to be chicken and broccoli, like boring. You can roast vegetables. It can be delicious. Do a really nice steak, or you can create like a dal or something with lentils if you're vegetarian. And you're starting to move towards a whole food diet. Do that 80% of the time and actually manage your calories, and you're going to lose weight.
And there's also the third thing. Yeah, sorry. Karen.
No, I was just going to say that the final thing is just, I said 80% of the time because you have to include the things that you enjoy. Like you've got to eat some ice cream, some pizza, if that's what you like. You know, find things, a pint, if that's what you like to do. But just make sure that it's managed in the context of a well-balanced diet. Because if you exclude things completely, you end up overeating them. You'll go back to them and you'll overeat them, or it'll be too difficult, or things will just be too boring, or you have to say no to tons of social events. You don't want that. You want it to be sustainable. You want it to be a part of your life. So calories first, whole foods, and then actually building things that you enjoy in your diet.
Nice. And on the fitness side of things, if maybe I used to be an athlete when I was younger, I used to do this, I used to do that. Like maybe a lot of people out there, when they get to a certain age, they don't do as much. You know, how can I get back out there and start playing tennis as an example, or walk, or anything that at least gets me getting the heartbeat up and the blood pressure up?
The first thing is just not compare yourself to your former self, because your former self probably didn't have the commitments that you currently have of perhaps a family, more commitments at work, you had much more time. I speak to people who are like, oh, I used to do CrossFit and I was in incredible shape. But I was like, you didn't have kids then. You didn't have like an additional 10, 15 hours of responsibility at work then.
So don't beat yourself up, right?
Absolutely. Don't beat yourself up. And then start small. You know, if it's tennis that you want to play, just say, okay, can I go down to the club once a week? Could I set a commitment? Could I book a lesson with a pro so I have to turn up? I just do it once. Because what I often see, particularly from people who used to be in pretty good shape, is they say, okay, I can probably do 5 sessions this week. And I'm like, well, how many did you do last week? And they're like, none. Do you think 5 sounds reasonable? And they're like, well, I'm pretty motivated. I'm like, well, why don't we do one? And then you see how many more you can do. And they'll go away. They'll do one. And that was the commitment. So they nailed it. Maybe they do two, but that's okay. Next week, we say, okay, could you do two this week? And then you just build. It's this idea of progression. But to start small is very foreign to some people because they want it all now. Like, you can still achieve incredible results. You just need to lay the foundations first. If you haven't been doing anything, don't suddenly expect yourself to be able to nail 5 in 10 sessions a week. Just do one.
Yeah, that's interesting. And everyone wants everything now. But I like what you're saying in the fact that take it step by step, right? Bite off what you can bite off, depending on your situation as an individual and also what's going on in your world. And then work it through. Maybe, you know, in a year's time, it might be different, but gradually work towards something that, you know, that transformational self that you want to be, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Want to increase the profits in your business? Download Richard's ebook right now, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It will help you find new ways to increase your profits. Best of all, it's free. Go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.
You know, just to wrap this section up, I mean, you know, we're talking about profit zones. In the FinTech Scaling Show, I want to unlock profit zones, give that information out to founders and executives. And I think this is a crucial part of it all. Because if you lack in energy, if you lack in drive, if you're a bit sluggish in the office for whatever reason, you're not going to be on the ball. You're not going to be able to make those quick snap decisions, and you're going to be, you may be behind the nine ball. So, you know, how else can executives and founders take this individual, because it is very individual, health and fitness is very individual, how can they take it into their businesses and develop a culture of health and fitness so, you know, their whole team can benefit from that individual transformation that they're going through?
I think, like, from experience of working in corporate, if you're leading a team, you need to be the role model for that team in terms of how they deal with their own health. And if that means you go out at lunch to train, to set the example, or you've trained before work or whatever it is, and it's very obvious that you've done that and that's accepted, then people start to feel okay with that. I remember that going to the gym at lunch was frowned upon in my team, at least. No one really did it. And that meant that, of course, everyone's going to sort of be worried about, oh no, will that hinder my progression in the company? If I start going to the gym, are people going to frown on that? And the truth is, people will, if the leader hasn't set the example. And I just feel like leaders are leaving a lot on the table if you're not setting that example for your team. Because even if your team's performing well, and this is where people rest on their laurels, they're like, well, team's performing well anyway. Yeah, but what are you leaving on the table? How much better could they perform if they were actually looking after themselves?
Yeah, that's some salient advice there. Get them out there, get them working really hard. One of my podcast guests from Africa, Ozo, it's a payments company. They have what they call the Ozo gym. And they are out every day. There's photos of them out, you know, doing the 1 hour CrossFit sessions or 1 hour runs or swims or whatever it is. And they've taken that right into the business. And, you know, the business is doing pretty well. It's one of the fastest growing fintechs in Africa now. I mean, maybe that's part of the reason, but it's great to see people, you know, actually taking what you're saying, but actually implementing it, right?
Yeah, and like there's a lot of this that happens in corporate where people say, like I've had this, I have invites to speak on lunch and learn sessions where everyone comes in and they listen to me talk about nutrition, fitness, identity, all of the pieces that create excellent health. But there's no actual support for people doing it. They're like, oh, we've ticked the box because we did lunch and learn. It's like, it's an absolute joke, to be honest. Yeah. If you're not setting the example from the top and saying it's okay to take this time out to make sure you are at the best you can possibly be because you're taking care of your health. Mm-hmm. If you're just saying, oh, here's some information. It's like, well, nice one. I can get that on Google. I need the environment to be set up properly so that I can actually achieve this. Because otherwise I'm swimming upstream.
Yeah. So that's interesting. That's a bit of a shift. I don't really ask, you know, how can this change? I mean, founders and executives, that they need to be, like you saying, you know, we need to be able to control what we want to control. You don't have to go and get a rubber stamp from HR or whoever it is. If you are the CTO and are in control of the product, you know, take your team out. Take your team out and go for a run together, right? Or go for a healthy meal together. Go as a group. You don't always have to go as, you know, a whole massive corporate body or, you know, business. It's the small steps that take you up to Everest, not the one large step, right?
Yeah. Every team has a leader. So the director of the team has the opportunity to do that. As you said, they don't need to sign off from HR to make it okay to look after your health. Imagine that. Like, the problem is if you
sign off from HR to go and swim during lunchtime. I mean, it is a bit weird, right? So. Yeah. But it is sort of ingrained. I feel like it is ingrained in some culture. You need to be at your desk doing stuff in order to be a, you know, in inverted commas, a high performer, which is bullshit. You know, you need
to actually go out there. Results.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you need to go out there. You need to live a healthy life and then results come.
Yeah. And if people turn around and there will be, the problem with corporates is you've got some pretty old school attitudes within a lot of them. If they want to turn around to a team and say, oh, I don't really agree with what you guys are doing because, you know, you should be at your desks. Well, one, it's not your team, so keep your opinion to yourself. And secondly, if the results are poor, then I'll, you know, I'm speaking as a director, I'll put my hand up and I'll take responsibility. If they're not, carry on as we are, I guess.
Nice.
You know, but it takes a strong individual to do that, because unfortunately there's also pressure from above the team director, right? So they've really got to stand up.
You're pushing against the wind.
That's not easy to do. Yeah.
Okay, Lindsay, to wrap up the session before we get into the flash round, what is your one tip for everyone out there that is on a journey to, you know, either they're building up their career or building a business? What is your tip to remain healthy and to remain fit, but also remain mentally healthy as they sort of scale up their mountain?
I think the one tip would be to start small. I mean, there are several pieces that are very important, but I think start small is the most important, especially if you're coming from a place of not doing much, of having let things slide. And there'll be a lot of people there because of what happened during the pandemic. I hear from people all the time. I'm talking to people on the phone who are talking about coming onto my program, and they're like, oh, I was doing much better before the pandemic. So I'm sure there's a lot of people listening to this that are thinking the same thing. You know, they start to move, work from home, the environment changed, things got difficult. If you're starting from nothing, start small, progress the following week, and get consistent and be patient. And those things will compound over time. But if you're tempted to get that shiny object syndrome and be like, oh, what I'm doing, it's not exciting, it's not sexy, I can't tell my mates about it, I can't tell my mates about the Peloton that I bought, it's now gathering dust. You know, like, just ignore it. Like, put the blinkers on. Focus on your goal. Start small. Take the first step to getting towards that.
Nice. I like it. Some cool advice there. And now we're heading to the flash round. The flash round is always a bit of fun at the end of the show. There are rules, John, there are rules. The rules are this. I ask you three questions. They're three fun questions. You just give me one or two word answers. And then at the end, you are allowed to ask me one question. And then we wrap the show when we shake hands on high fives and we go on a merry way. So here they are. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Yeah, you're ready. He's ready. He's from London. He's ready. Okay. So here we go. Because I know where you live now as well. This is going to list his answer. First question, the UK or Colombia to live?
Colombia.
Oh, there we go. You had to think there. Prioritize your finances or your health?
Health.
Yeah, nice. What is the better language, English or Spanish?
English.
Oh, there we go. Okay, cool. And then I can turn around and give you the mic and, you know, you can ask me any question. It just can't be, you know, anything about my cycling. No, I'm joking, anything at all.
I like a question that Tim Ferriss often asks on his show, which is, if you could put a message on a billboard, what would it be?
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. That's a good one. There's a story behind this, but I'll give you the message. The message I got from a very influential person to me when I was growing up. In 92, 93, Mandela came to my school and he stood up after being released from Robben Island and he said this to us. He said, no matter who you are, no matter what you do, no matter what struggles you're going through, you always have a choice. You alone can decide what path to walk. And he is so right, so right. And then that message should be and is right at the center and front of a lot of what I've done in my life. And I think everyone out there are obstacles, but it's your choice. It's your path. It's your journey. It's your life. And we've actually discussed this today. So, yeah, that's the thing I say.
Amazing. It's a really solid message.
And that wasn't prepped.
No, that literally sounded like it's prepped. I was like, because it's a hard question, like, to assimilate everything that's important to you. And you had an anecdotal story to talk about as well.
That was luck. There we go. Okay, mate. Listen, it's been awesome catching up with you today. And listen, if anyone wants to catch up with you and chat about fitness, chat about health, chat about nutrition, how can they get in touch?
Best place to find me is on LinkedIn. You can just search John Sharp, JonSharpe, and you'll find me on there. Connect with me and we can have a chat if you need any help.
Cool, brilliant. And listen, I really enjoyed catching up with you on this. I think it's a really important subject for everyone to understand. And as we discussed today, once you start getting into new habits, new things start, new opportunities start coming up. Your life is better managed, your teams are better managed, and also your journey forward to your Everest or your summit is more controlled. So again, John, absolutely amazing having you on the show. Looking forward to watching you and your success going forward.
Thanks, Richard. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. Please take advantage of the free gift Richard has waiting for you. It's his new ebook, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.